Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Anger Without Sin. Hi, I'm Dr. Fred, and we're going to have another episode of Study, Grow, Know today, right now. Pathologist Kevin Homer tested himself for antibodies after receiving both CV injections. He tested negative for antibodies to CV-19 less than 5 months after the injections. Here's what he said. Quote, "My story is another example of the folly of making universal vaccination the primary objective of the pandemic response. Vaccine mandates by restaurants, employers, airlines, colleges, and entertainment venues are based on the flawed assumptions that vaccinated people are safe, clean, and not dangerous to others. There is undeniable evidence that breakthrough infections occur, that the vaccinated can spread the disease, and that vaccinated individuals can die of the disease. It's becoming clear that eradication is no longer possible. There's also mounting evidence that vaccines are associated with significant side effects that affect the health and well-being of individuals. Expect more evidence to emerge. We do not yet know the whole story." Unquote. Well, as normal, I've included a number of links at the top of the transcript, and in the quote I just read, there are also numerous links that will take you to the information that Dr. Homer has written about or stated. Now, I'm sure you've heard by now that Biden has mandated sweeping new CV-19 rules for businesses of 100 or more employees. And it comes down to all employees will need the CV jab, or those who don't receive it must submit to a weekly test. Any company that does not comply will be fined, I guess, at least $14,000. Now, I'm not sure how this is going to be enforced. I am, however, certain that Biden has overstepped his authority as president, but he's not the first one, and it's been going on for too long. The president has the power to mandate or issue executive orders to any and all federal agencies. He does not have the authority to issue mandates or EOs to private companies, regardless of their size. So what Biden has done is illegal because it's unconstitutional. Well, having said that, though, I'm wondering how many companies with left-wing CEOs are going to comply. My guess is many will. So even if Biden is proven to be wrong and retracts his mandate, making it more of a recommendation for businesses, I'm sure the CEOs, the left-wing CEOs at many companies, will essentially carry the baton from Biden and make sure that they do what Biden wants them to do. Now, the other issue I have is that this is essentially the frog in the pot of water that slowly comes to a boil. The frog is unaware of it and literally ends up being cooked alive if there's no real pushback against President Biden's illegal and fascist dictates. I can see several things happening. Several months might go by with many companies of 100 plus employees, and then Biden may offer that, well, you know, this isn't working, and then further restrictive measures will be needed. He may then lower the number to include companies with 50 to 99 employees, also having to jump through his hoops. Then, when it's deemed that won't work, it'll go lower still, and I think eventually all businesses will be required to comply, and then eventually the weekly test option will be removed. Now, I doubt, seriously, that I'm the only one who can see this happening. But the reason that I think this is happening incrementally is to gauge public response to the mandate. If there's a great deal of pushback, that will signal to the White House that they've gone too far. If there's relatively little or no pushback, that will tell them they can go even further. You see, many businesses that do not have 100 or more employees may feel as though they've escaped the dragnet Biden has thrown out there. Instead of standing in solidarity with businesses with 100-plus employees, smaller business owners may simply breathe a sigh of relief and get on with life and work until things begin to tighten up for the smaller businesses, and they feel the pinch. They may want to, at that point, start resisting, but it'll be late in the game for that. I can tell you that the powers that be have been studying human nature for generations. In fact, Satan has been watching human beings since before the fall of humanity. And while we don't know how long between the time God finished his creation and Eve and Adam fell, we do know that Satan's extreme intelligence must have allowed him to learn a great deal from just watching Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, enough to know how he could make them fall. And it all worked very well. And at the same time, Satan really learned he had only one card to play. So it better work. Well, since that time, Satan has come to know human beings far better than we know ourselves. And I believe he has shared much of that knowledge with many human beings with whom and through whom he's worked. Think of all the dictators that this world has endured, and then ask how it was that they were able to overcome a society to become top dog. And once they got to that point, they became vile and murderous, using abject fear, power, and force to get and keep control of their particular populace. Believe me when I say that the fascists throughout history are all cut from the same cloth, and Mr. Biden, unfortunately, appears no different. They know what works and how to turn people to their own agenda. Currently, they're using fear of CV to round up and corral society, and this is happening throughout the world. Added to this is the fear of losing one's job and being pushed to the edges of society, not allowed to participate in it. And really, we understand that this has happened in Australia, and it's on the way in other nations, like the UK, where freedom and autonomy is the thing of memories. People are isolated, forced to remain in their homes, not allowed to travel far from home, and other draconian fascist mandates are applied. The police in Australia and other areas have become brutal in dealing with people from which freedom has been stolen. Now again, this is all in the name of CV and the possibility of dying from a disease that's so deadly you have to be tested to know if you have it. And if you do have it, you have a 99.8% plus survivability rate depending on your particular demographic. Now, added to that is the additional mandates boxing people in even further by forcing them to get the CV injection or testing weekly. And as I've said, this goes, if it goes without pushback, the option for testing will likely be removed eventually. All of this is leading to an authoritarianism that is being normalized here in the USA. So what does this have to do with the title of this article? Anger without sin. And what do I mean? Well, Ephesians 4:26 says this, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Paul is telling us several things. First, what he's not telling us is that we should never be angry at anything. He's actually implying it's okay to be angry. Too many Christians seem to believe that anger has no place in the life of a Christian. Second, Paul is saying that there may be times when we become righteously angry, and when we do, we should not allow our anger to fester and take over our lives. We should always be in control. The problem with anger is something that we are all aware of, and because of this, we try to avoid it. When people get angry at a spouse, a friend, or a situation, the tendency is to say things we regret later or to act in a way that is sinful. Paul warns against such things by telling the Ephesian believers and us that anger in and of itself is not sin. He didn't say that. He didn't say anger is sin. He did say and imply that uncontrolled anger can certainly lead to sin. Anger must be measured, it must be focused, and it must be limited in duration as well. Let's take a page from Jesus' life to illustrate this. On several occasions, Jesus cleansed the temple area. Jesus did this the first time as recorded in John 2:11-12. Roughly 3 years later, he again cleansed the temple as recorded in Matthew 21:12-17. Now, those are interesting texts. Listen to what John says, chapter 2:14-15. Now, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple. with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. Matthew 21:12-13 says, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers.'" Now, in both cases above, Jesus overturned tables and drove out the money changers. Clearly, Jesus was angry, and it showed on his face and in the volume and power of his words and in his actions. There were other times that Jesus exhibited anger, more often than not against the religious leaders of his day. Now, the idea that Christians should never become angry is a misnomer, and has helped create milksop Christians who seem to thrive on persecution and actually look for it. But the issue of anger can obviously be legitimate. But during those times when it is legitimate, we must guard ourselves against going so far that we end up sinning. With the things that are happening in the USA and elsewhere, I've noticed that I've been dealing with an undercurrent of anger. It is one which has caused my blood pressure to rise, which is natural when you're angry. And I've noticed that I've been dealing with thoughts that are not God-honoring with respect to the Biden administration. My anger stems from seeing the abject fascism and tyranny emanating from the White House. And it's not just about CV-19, but obviously that's a huge part of it. The noose appears to be tightening around our necks as we are being incrementally strangled until we are willing to cry, "Uncle!" But only then will it let up, if we're willing to acquiesce to government demands. Unfortunately, even if we give in and accept the demands of the government, that'll likely mean we are consenting to accept even further dictates that will curtail our freedoms even further. This is the end game. And it's not about CV-19, was it really ever? It is about gaining full control over the population in order to usher in Klaus Schwab's Great Reset. It has become obvious because the left, while constantly complaining about the unvaxxed as the ones who are causing the problem, when in fact more studies and reports are indicating it's the vaxxed who are causing the problem, because the CV injection seems to have made them more susceptible to contracting new variants of CV-19. But they continue to scream just as loudly that it is the right of a woman to abort her unborn child at any point in time, and that right should not ever be messed with. Essentially, the rallying cry has been, "My body, my choice." Yet even though her choice normally ends in the murder of at least one unborn human being, that's perfectly fine with the left. The idea that I should be able to refuse to accept the CV injection is not something this same left will consider, because either they have come to believe the lie that the unvaxxed are creating all the health problems in society, or they're paid trolls and bots on social network whose sole purpose is to spread that lie. Now, I personally think, based on Paul and other writings and other examples in Scripture, I think it's okay to be angry at certain situations we face. The lies, the blackmailing, the attempts to force everyone to accept mandates for our quote-unquote health and safety. The problem is when anger becomes retributive, when we begin to massage a hatred of a person for what they're trying to force us into doing against our constitutional freedoms and or against our will. So if you find yourself becoming or being angry over this whole situation, be angry, but do not sin. Use that energy to accomplish good things, like, for instance, calling your governor or elected representatives nicely, but emphatically demand that they do whatever legal means they have at their disposal to protect the rights we have under the Constitution. Now, apart from this, gather with other like-minded individuals and even consider peacefully protesting. Be warned that these people may be taken over by members of Antifa, BLM, or other left-wing actors who simply want to stir up trouble and make peaceful protesters look violent and terrible. Now, of course, all this should be firmly undergirded with prayer, and lots of it. We need God to guide us and direct our steps in these troubling times. I'm finding that the more the government wants me to simply accept what should be a voluntary medical procedure, the more I dig my feet in. And it's not due to pride, but it's due to concern and a belief that the government does not necessarily have my best interests at heart, in spite of what some naive Christians want to believe. And that's been proven repeatedly over how many decades? The best thing we can do is pray. What does God want from us? How can we seek change in the face of growing fascism? What should be my demeanor in these things? In the end, we may end up losing, but it won't be because we did not try to resist tyranny. If we comport ourselves correctly, even if angry, those whom we stand against, and remember, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but all spiritual powers and wickedness in the spiritual realm, Ephesians 6:12, those we stand against will at the very least get the message, and their accusations against us will not be validated, even if God allows them to win. Now, I've said it many times in previous articles, but things are getting more difficult throughout society. We should expect that. If we left everything unchecked and without resistance, imagine where society would be now. It seems we are getting there still, though. We have nothing to lose and everything to gain by praying, asking God for his strength and direction, and resisting the fascism and tyranny. I'd rather at least try than simply give up or let others do it, because that to me is too cowardly. Imagine if Jesus had overlooked the money changers in the temple. Imagine if he had said, oh, well, let someone else deal with it. Of course, that's fantasy, because we know what he did on at least two occasions. He took responsibility because of the situation in front of him that he saw. I believe we have the same responsibility in society today, which could correct many wrongs. It will also show the world what it means to be an angry Christian who is not sinning. Thanks so much for your time today. I appreciate it. I pray you have a great weekend. And until we meet again, I also pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.